Numbers chapter 21, give you a second just to get there. The title of the message today is Look and Live. Look and Live. Verse 1. And the Bible says, when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and they called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray now you speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray we draw closer to you. And I pray for one or more here that may be that they've never called on your name for salvation. Might be today. Be the day they see their need. Call on your name before it is eternally too late. Commit the service to your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, title of the message is Look and Live. I was reading a commentary that Warren Wiersbe had, and he said some things about the Christian life. He said the Christian life is a school where we learn about God, we learn about His Word, and more about ourselves. He said the Christian life is like a gymnasium where we exercise our faith, and the Christian life is a battlefield where we fight the battles that God leads us to. I think we'll see all of these elements in the text that I was reading to you this morning. The number one thing I want us to see, I want to see something about the power of God. The power of God. You know, when we look at Israel, and most of us know the story, how it went, that they were led out of Egypt. They had cried, and they'd been in Egyptian bondage for 400 and some years, and they cried to God to be delivered, and God said, okay, I'll deliver you, and he started leading them out of Egypt, and I believe I read this one time that they could have gotten to Canaan in 3 weeks. It was only about a 3-week journey. I think they got there in about that amount of time. And they got over to the land of Canaan, and of course they sent spies in, and they came back, and Caleb and Joshua said, man, it looks great. I'm kind of paraphrasing this a little bit. It looks great. It's a land of milk and honey. Let's go. And the other 10 spies said, nah, there's too many people. There's too many problems, too many things. And they discouraged everybody. And because of that, we know that they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before they finally went into the promised land that they could have been enjoying that whole time. Well, this is about 38 years into the journey right here. 38 years of wandering in the wilderness. But now God had taken care of them the whole time. God had taken care of them the whole way. I mean, He led them by a pillar of a fire by night, and He had a pillar of a cloud by day. That He led them, and when they needed water, got water from the rock. When they needed food, He provided manna every day for them. That light bread that they loathed that I read in the text, that was the manna from heaven. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But God was taking care of them, and you know, God kept His promise, even though they didn't, by faith, go into the promised land right away. Even during the time of the wilderness wandering, you know, God was providing, and He was ever present. Every enemy was defeated. Every need was met, and God had never failed. Every obstacle was taken care of. I'm going to tell you, I've been saved 27 years. I was thinking about it, and I remember when I was a new Christian, and you know, you'd hear about these saints, and they'd been saved a long time, and I never had really thought about how long I'd been saved. I was sitting there in the back. I gave Eileen the notes here, and I was sitting there counting that up, and I said, you know, 27 years, about 27 years I've been saved, and I want to say something to you, that God has never failed to meet my needs. Didn't get all my wants, but He's met my needs and taken care of me, guided me along the way, and you know, got a lot to be thankful for. And I thank God for that. But you know, a lot of times I think I'm going to, if I examine my life closely, and I do, we'll see with our next point with the people here, the Israelites, they were just like I was, or I'm just like they were, that God's never failed. But you know what? They got to complaining to God about some things that they didn't like. You know, they started taking the things of God for granted, and they got to complaining about it. I'm telling you, I can complain with the best of them. Huh? I can do some complaining. Everybody say amen, right? we can complain. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, what it is. We can get to complaining, and you know, one of the things we have to see that you know, when they were, it said there in the very first part of the text that along the way this one king rose up against them and took some of them prisoner, and that's when they cried out to God, and then God delivered them into their hand. They must have not been paying attention when that other king rose up against them and got some of them taken prisoner. That happens to us sometimes. We don't always pay close attention. In the text it said that over there in the land of Edom, that they had to go around the land of Edom. There's another, we can probably look in some other text, Chronicles, I think, and it tells us that the king there of Edom wouldn't allow them passage. They asked, can we pass through your land? It was a shorter route, and that king said no. Now, God took care of him later on for that, but the Israelites, respecting that king's wishes, they had to go around Edom. It was a longer trip, and you know, of course, transportation being what it was, usually a shoe leather express or riding on a camel or something to that effect. Probably it was a rough, long road. And when the road got long and the road got rough, they got discouraged. How many of us ever get discouraged about things when they don't go smooth? When do they go smooth? That's probably another good question. When do things go smooth? And so it was rough. It took longer. Patience is something that God sometimes tries to teach us, I think, when things go a little longer than we thought they might. And so, you know, but with the race that God has us in, it's not a sprint, and it's endurance race. And so I think sometimes with that, and you know, they because of that, when things start going south, sometimes we lash out. You know, sometimes we get mad about things, and they did. They started to complain about the things that God had done for them. I mean, God had provided water. They needed water. They said, God, we need water. We're in the middle of nowhere, out of the rock, but He provided water. Every morning, I mean, they got up and they got the little bread I'll talk about, you know, but we all got something to be thankful for. I mean, more than enough. You know, I always, to everybody hold your arm right here. Everybody hold your arm right there. How many of you feeling a pulse this morning? Huh? Anybody not getting a pulse? Some of you look like you're not getting a pulse. If you got a pulse right there, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You got something to thank God for. Say amen right there. I got a pulse. How many of you are breathing today? Huh? Breathing. That started in the Old Testament too. That's a good thing. How many of you breathing this morning? Huh? We got something to be thankful for. We're still here. But, you know, it if your heart's beating and breathing, thank God for it. It said here, they loatheth this light bread. That means they kind of had disdain for it. They didn't like it. This light bread. The light bread they were talking about was the manna from heaven. Now, I haven't had manna from heaven that I know of. I don't think that. The Bible describes it in another place and tells what it looks like. And the Bible says it tastes like a little wafer of honey. Well, I like honey. Huh? That sounds good, doesn't it? And every morning, all they had to do, this is how God supplies. He didn't give them too much. He didn't give them too less. Every morning they got up, and the Bible tells us in another area that little round thing, this bread was on the ground outside. All they had to do, listen to this, all you had to do was get up. You didn't have to go to work, sweat 40 hours a week to come back and buy your bread. You went outside, and you picked up this manna from heaven, and it tasted like honey. That sounds pretty good. But you know how we are. Man, after a while, day in, day out, they were eating that manna God provided for them. Now, I would like to taste it just to say, you know, see what that was like, that God provided it. But it was good. But you know how people are. As I said, you give them a pound of gold, they cry because they want to. And they cried in Egypt because they wanted deliverance, so God delivered them. Now they're crying because they got delivered. Matter of fact, they even started complaining, we want to go back to Egypt, where we had a lot of that food that we had back there while we were slaves. Man, people are a fickle group of people, aren't they?
Amen.
man, I'm telling you what, they complain, and listen, they're everywhere. Listen, every church has got them. We've got people complain about everything. And I want to tell you something about our complaining. It grieves God. It grieves God. That manna that God sent, it was a type of Christ. It pictured Christ, the bread of life. But I want to tell you the difference between Christ and that manna right there. The manna just sustains life. I mean, they could eat it every day. They could live on it. Whatever you needed, they could live on nothing but manna. That's all they had to have. Every vitamin, every whatever you got to have, you could live on. And it just sustains life. But Jesus Christ gives life. Now, there's a difference. Well, what's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. A lot of people are sustaining their life. They get up every morning. They go to work. They work all day. They come home. They eat their supper. They kick back for a little while. They go to bed. They get up the next morning. They go to work. They work all day. They come back home. They eat their supper. They kick back for a little while. And they go to bed. And they get up in the morning, you know, and they do it over and over and over again. They're just sustaining life. That's it. But Jesus Christ said, listen, I want to give you more than that. And he says, listen, I'm gonna give you the abundant life, a life of peace with God and with yourself. And there's a lot of people that aren't at peace with their own self. A life of joy, a life of victory, a life of purpose, a life of power. Listen, there's more to life than what most people are living. There's more to life than what most Christians, there's more to life than what the average Christian is living. Amen. We're not experiencing everything God's got for us. Huh? Yeah, we're not experiencing what God has for us. A lot of us. And not everything that God has for us. There's so much more than just, listen, it's more than just showing up on Sunday morning and listening to me preach to you out of the Bible and then going back home and sitting around till next Sunday and then you know, maybe even reading your Bible a little bit during the week. And that there's more to the Christian life than that. Man, it's a life of joy. It's a life of excitement. I mean, you can imagine every morning and every morning they got up without fail. That manna was laying on the bread on the ground. They just had to go out there and pick it up. Didn't have to work for it. Didn't have to do anything. Just pick it up. And you got just enough for the day, every day. Jesus Christ gives you just enough for every day. That's all they had to do. But you know what? Even with God in a miraculous way, I mean, I thought that would be a miracle. You get up every morning, there's the bread. But you know what? It don't matter what the miracle is. You can take it for granted. Amen. Every morning God had laid that out there. And you imagine that? You knew that God put that out there. And you start complaining about it? I'm going to tell you, everything that we've got in life, God gave it to us or God allowed us to have it. I mean, you know, it's from God. Don't complain about those things right there. And it made God, it grieved God. And the Bible tells us this, that God chastens those who He loves. Now, God does it a lot of different ways, but in this case, the Bible says that He sent these fiery serpents. It doesn't mean that they were fiery looking, but it means that their bite of one of these, if you got bit by one, it was a real fiery feeling sensation when you got bit and you died a kind of a long, slow, painful death is the way you died. And that's he put them everywhere. And he put those things everywhere. And of course, there's the spiritual application of those fiery serpents being in camp. It's a picture of sin. It's everywhere. And I got to studying that. Everybody knew that. I mean, a lot of us knew that that's a picture of sin. And because of the way nothing could be done about it except for the pole lifted up, and we'll talk about that in a second. But it said that if everybody in camp and the serpents were all around there, I started thinking about it. How many people got bit? And I started studying that. All of them. Every single person in the camp got bit. I'll show you this in a few minutes. Because it's a picture of sin, right? How many people got bit by sin? Everybody. Sin came on. See what happens. God told Adam and Eve way back that if they ate or they disobeyed God, that they would surely die. Now the serpent, which was Satan, actually the devil, came into Eve and he said, did God really say that? We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. Did God really say? And then the serpent said, thou shalt not surely die. And Eve partook of the ate, and she gave some to her husband. Now, they didn't die instantly. The death that we die today, it's a long, slow, painful process for most of us. It's a long, slow process. They didn't die instantly, but they spiritually died instantly. Their communication with God, their fellowship with God was gone. As a matter of fact, God came looking for them. They were hiding in the garden, and God said, where are y'all at? And we're hiding. And why are you hiding? Because we're naked. Well, how do you know you're naked? Who told you that? Because they ate of the knowledge, the tree the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's how they knew. So sin came into the world. And it was through a serpent, kind of ironic. It's not ironic, but God planned it that way. It came through that serpent. But it was death. I mean, for most of us here, and listen, I'm the chaplain down at the Bryan Center, down at the nursing home down there. And when you go down there, I'm going to tell you what, there's things out in this world that's worse than death. You go down there and see some of the ALS patients that are laying there, that their brain completely works perfect and they can't move a muscle. There's one ALS patient that I visit down there, and he can look at me and he can blink and that's it. He knows everything I'm seeing. He feels every emotion that you and I feel. He gets scratches and itches and all those things, and he can't touch them. He can't move his hands. He can't talk to me. I have to talk the whole time I'm talking to him. He can blink at me, and that's it. That is it. Buddy, that's a long, slow, painful death. My cousin got ALS. Thankfully, he only lived about 2 years with it, and he wasn't in real bad shape when he died. God just took him. But there's some people that live a long time with that. There's things worse than death, and our bodies are breaking down. Man, I get up in the morning, man, and I got gray hair where it's gray and joints, and my fingers are snapping and popping for arthritis, and I can't get my ankles going. I shuffle to first 5 or 6 steps before I get going to the bathroom, finally get everything shook out, old knees, get down here off the altar. You know, I always pray right here, if you ever notice that. That's so I can reach up here and get a hold of this, get up when I'm done, man. And so I can hold all this stuff. Is all, you know, we're getting old. I mean, if we live a long time, you know, we don't just die. We slowly die. And these serpents, when they bit them, it was a long, slow, a fiery feeling. It was a painful death. And I got to thinking, all the people had to be bitten because it was a picture of sin. What a way to live every day. Man, you know, you ever been around a real snaky place? You know, I get around there around my wood pile. I mean, I just don't dive in there and grab a piece of wood, man. I mean, I kick around in there to make sure, you know. And it's not all that snaky. But, man, every time they went to pick up a bucket or a bowl or something, man, I mean, they had to jump around and look and kick and poke and everybody worrying about it. But I guarantee you, every single one of them. See, it said in verse 6, it's written like this. It says this. It says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. It didn't say some of the people or part of the people. It said they bit the people. And then it said, and much people, not all of them, but it said much of them died. And I'll show you why some of them didn't die in a minute. I think it bit them all. Every single person got bit. If it's going to picture sin, we're all sinners. We're all born sinners. We're born into sin. What a way to live. But there's the grace of God that we see too in the next point. And in verse 7 through 8, it said there that the people came to Moses and they said, we have sinned. This was a real honest confession. It said they even named their sin. They said, we've spoken against the Lord. In other words, we were complaining. We complained against the Lord and we complained against thee, telling Moses that. And they asked Moses, pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent out of brass. He put it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. So they confessed, and this is part of the thing right here. Everybody, I want you to see this, that we've all been bitten by the sin snake, so to speak, because we're born sinners. When sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve, and we're not, you know, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. You know, an apple tree is an apple tree, and it gives out apples. It's not an apple tree because it gives out apples. It gives out apples because it's an apple tree. We sin because we're sinners. We're born that way. Sin entered in. And I was sharing this with somebody yesterday. We was talking about this. I used to think when I was a kid, see, that I was just kind of good and I was on my way to heaven. I don't know why I thought I was kind of good. That was a real messed up thought. But I was on my way to heaven, and then if I did so many bad things that I would end up in hell. That's what I thought. But see, when I studied the Bible and found out that sin entered into the world through Adam and that we're all born into sin because of that sin nature, this is what the Bible told me different. No, that's not the case. You're born and really you're on your way to hell without Christ. Without looking at that serpent on the pole, without looking at the pole, which is picturing Christ, you're going to die. And that means a spiritual death and an eternal death without God. See, so I'm not on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to hell, but I trusted Jesus Christ, and now I'm on my way to heaven. We'll see that here as we go just a little bit farther. And so there was true confession, and there's repentance is always involved in that. And when true confession is present and there's repentance, grace of God, the grace of God always abounds. And God said, listen, I want you to make a fiery serpent. He kind of made it out of brass and he put it on a pole. Now, I don't think that's what the people expected, and that's probably not what the people wanted. What do you think they wanted when they said, take these fiery serpents away? They wanted God to just take them away. And He could have done that. He could have just taken the serpents away. But that would have only demonstrated God's power. It wouldn't have been a test of faith for the people. And that's what God wants. He wants to test our faith. And so what He said was, I'm going to put this serpent up there. And everybody, all they had to do, if they got bit by a snake, all they had to do was look at that serpent on a pole. It was probably up high enough where they could see it. And they look at that serpent and they would live. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got bit by a snake, what would you be doing? But I want you to know something. There was people that didn't do it. We'll see in a few minutes. There was people that didn't do it. All they had to do was look at the pole. Why would God instruct Moses to make a model of the very creature, snakes, that was causing the problem in the first place? You ever wonder about that? Why did he could have put anything on the pole and said, look and live. He could have just put the pole. He said, look and live. Well, you know, it's a picture. Of course, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In those days, they knew that lifted up meant to be crucified, to be put on a cross. And He said, if I'm lifted up on this cross, I notice Jesus isn't on here because He was taken down and He resurrected, and it's an empty cross, but that's what they crucified Him on. He said, if I get lifted up, He said, I'm going to draw all men unto me. This pole on this snake on the pole was a picture of down the road, the cross of Christ. Amen. And it's the same today. The basics of it is this, is look and live. It's look to Jesus Christ and live. But why did He say put a snake on it? Why put a serpent on it? Because when Jesus went to the cross, and that's what was going on the crucifixion, He became sin for us. Amen. The curse of sin, entered into the world through the serpent. He became sin for us. And that picture there, but also I think also because He defeated sin, He defeated death, He defeated the grave, all those things, I think that's a reason why He did that. But on the cross, Jesus became sin for us. He bore in His body that which causes spiritual death. And He was lifted up, that serpent was lifted up like Christ upon the cross. The only cure for that snake bite was looking at that pole and that serpent. The only cure that mankind has in the world, there's only one cure, and that is to look upon with faith Jesus Christ. That's it. There's nothing else you could do. You couldn't look. I can't look for you. You can't look for me. You've got to look. You've got to look to Christ. That's it. It's all in your, nobody can do it for you. No matter how they tried, there was no cure. They could have called all the doctors. They could have made little cuts on the snake bite and got somebody to suck all the poison out. Try to. They could have tried all kind of remedies that they might have been out there available on the day. But nobody was going to get cured from this snake bite without looking up at that pole. It was just a look of faith. Why? Because that's what God said. God said, listen, if you want to live, do this. If you want to live, look at this cross. And it's a look of faith. Why is it a look of faith? Because God said it. You're putting faith in what God said. Sin came into the world by a look. Deliverance came by a look. And how foolish would it have been? How foolish would it have been if you got bit by that snake and God said, all you got to do is look at this pole right here, and this snake on the pole, which it was a picture in Christ in the future, and you'll live. Do you know that some people didn't do it? Because it sounded kind of silly, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound silly that you just look at it? I mean, that's all it is to it. Wouldn't it have been better to, like, go to the doctor, get somebody to get the poison out, take some kind of medicine? Doesn't that sound like a much more logical thing? And a lot of people said, it's crazy. And they died. And now today, look, we've got a problem. The sin problem has separated us from God. And we can think, well, I can try to do my own thing about that. I'm going to try to be a better person. I'm going to try to be good. And it's good to be good. Don't get me wrong. Try to be good. I'm all for it. But that's not going to get you into heaven. We can hopefully maybe some people, depending on their spouse, is going to take care of it all for them. Can't do it. Some people are thinking, I'll just do enough things and there's something I can do. I would imagine that there were people in that camp that that did things when they got bit by that snake, and I'm going to do something and try to fix this. Put a tourniquet on it. Try to get the point, you know, all the things that you might think you might do. They didn't make it. They didn't make it. Jesus said, or God said then, he said, all you got to do is look at the pole lid. Man, I'll just look. Sin entered into the world and we're all born. There's nothing we can do about it. You can't go to church enough. You can't tithe enough. You can't be good enough. Amen. Because we all got that problem. You know the old good person test. The good person test, we all fail it. We all fail the good person test. What's the good person test? The good person test is this. I ask you if you ever told a lie. Any lie in your whole life. Anybody in here never told a lie? Never. All right, so what do we call people to tell lies?
Liar.
You tell me you're a good person. Huh? The Bible says that, you know, if you've ever taken anything you shouldn't have taken, that includes fudging on your taxes. If you ever taken anything you're not supposed to take, all of us probably done that. I took a Tootsie Roll Pop in 7-Eleven when I was a little boy, first thing I ever took. Felt real guilty about it. Didn't do it again. What do we call people that take things? Thieves. Now we got lying thieves. Got a bunch of lying thieves. The Bible says that if you look on a person of the opposite sex with lust in your heart, that you've committed adultery. The Bible says that if you've hated anybody, you're guilty of murder because you've murdered that person in your heart.
Amen.
So now I look and I'm all standing in here and I'm in here with you. I look at all of us. We're all a bunch of lying, thieving, murdering adulterers. We all failed the good person test.
Amen.
You think you're going to stand up there before God and say, man, I got all my good stuff right here. Here's all my good works, and here's all my bad works. You really think your good works is going to tilt, or whichever way you go, tilt into favor like that? Uh-uh. No, because see, God sees our heart. He sees our thoughts.
Amen.
How many of you ever had a bad thought? How many of you thinking bad thought about me right now? We're guilty. See, so what happens is, well, if you could cure yourself, how come you haven't done it? There's no cure. And God, and in the mercy of God, God said, listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to send my son to die, and I'm going to put him on an old rugged cross. He's going to die. He's going to shed his blood because God's holiness would not let him overlook our sin. God's holiness, our sin had to be paid for. See, we would just sweep it under the rug. We could say out of love, listen, I'm just going to overlook everything, and I'll sweep it under the rug, and I'll just forget about it. We can do that, but God is so holy, He can't. And God said, no sin's got to be paid for. He said, but I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to have to pay for it. He said, I'm going to pay for it myself. I'll send my only son. He's going to die on that old cross. And he said, all you have to do to be saved from the curse, the penalty, the price of sin, is look to Jesus Christ and live. Look to Jesus Christ and live. And that's a look of faith now. It's a look where somebody says, you know what, I see that I'm a sinner. I see that I'm a hopeless situation and that all I have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died. See, Jesus paid for everybody's sin. The problem is this, not everybody has accepted that payment. I used to use this illustration a long time ago when I first started preaching. If I bought you a car, I'm not going to. I said, if I bought you a car. If I bought you a car and said, hey, there's a car down there at the dealership, it's paid for. All you got to do is go down there and pick up the keys. It'd be kind of dumb not to go down there and get it, would it? How many of you wouldn't go get it? I mean, the best car, whatever the car of your dreams is, I bought it. And it's all you got to do is go get it. How many of you here wouldn't go get it? How many of you would go get it? Everybody go get it. That's what God has said. Listen, I have paid for your sin. He said, I have given you a home in heaven. I've prepared a place. I'm going to give you eternal life. And all you have to do is look and ask. All you have to do is ask. It's the same way. You're looking to Christ and you're saying, Lord, that one guy in the Bible, I like him. He preached, he said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. He said, I see what I am. Nothing I can do about it. But look and live. He said, I look to Jesus Christ.
Huh?
That's how I got 30 or 20, what did I tell you, 27 years ago. In August, real close to around this time of year, I thought I was just going to be good enough to go to heaven. Some guys came and showed me in the Bible. They said, listen, there's none good, no, not one. There's none good, no, not one. We're all sinners. And they said, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, forgive you of your sin? And I knew about Jesus my whole life. I've been in church my whole life. off and on. I mean, we went sporadically. We went to church. I always believed in Jesus. I always believed that there was a God in heaven. I knew that Jesus had went to the cross, although I didn't know why. I knew all those things. And they said, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins? And I said, nah, not specifically, no. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. Believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus, that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. I said, man. I said, well, that's what you need to do. That's what I'm doing. And I asked in my living room, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart with some guys, and we prayed, and I said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I didn't know anything. I just said, just forgive me of my sins. What was God going to do with me? I didn't know. And that's faith. It was faith. And I asked Christ to save me, and he did. And that's all he said there. He said, all y'all got to do is look at that pole and live. And today he said, listen, all you got to do is look to Jesus Christ in faith and ask him for forgiveness. Amen. Confess with your mouth. He said, you'll be saved. But and everybody said, but preacher man, what about all this stuff? What about this? What? Listen, don't worry about all the what about tubes. God said, listen, I'll take care of it. They could have had a million questions. How is looking at that pole going to save me from a snake bite? I don't know how. I didn't have to know how. You didn't have to know how. I don't know about you. I don't know how God was going to do it, but if I got bit, I was looking in a hurt. He said, you know, we don't have to know how. It's grace. It's the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace means unmerited favor. It means you don't deserve it. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. Amen? Huh? We don't get what we deserve. Well, we deserve hell. But God says, in my grace and mercy, said, I give you eternal life. If you just look to me and live, all you have to do is look to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. God's spoken to your heart this morning, and maybe you got to the place where, you know, you just realized that you've been bitten by the sin syndrome, whatever we want to call it. We've all been born into sin. And maybe you say, well, I've never asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I don't understand everything about it. All you have to do is you have to just know a couple things. You have to know, one, that you're a sinner. Two, that you need forgiveness, and you have to want it. You have to want forgiveness, and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. God said, anybody that's ever sincerely done that, he's never turned a single one down. If you need to do that today, and we have the invitation, you come down here. We're prone to have a lot of people come to the altar, which is great. But if you know you're lost, you're not saved, or not sure about your salvation, you get my attention. I'll take my Bible. I'll be happy to show you what the Bible says about being